Hello everybody, it's been raining all day and I lack proper footwear protection planning insights, and so have been suffering from the miseries of soggy foot syndrome. Hopefully it will be cured by the end of this reading. Good evening and hi, it's me, it's Bedtime Story Podcast for Wednesday, the 11th of January 2006. Calm at the Seaside by Arnold Zweig. Kong got his first glimpse of the sea as he ran on the beach, which stretched like a wide arc along the edge of the cove. He barked vociferously with extravagant enthusiasm. Again and again, the bluish-white spray came dashing up at him, and he was forbidden to hurl himself into it. A tall order for an Airedale terrier with a wiry brown coat and shaggy forelegs. However, Willie, his young god, would not permit it. But at any rate, he could race at top speed across the firm sand, which was still damp from the ebbing waters, Willie following with lusty shouts. Engineer Grohl, strolling after, noticed that the dog and his tanned, light-haired, 8-year-old master were attracting considerable attention among the beach chairs and gaily striped bathing houses. At the end of the row, where the sky was pale and dipped into the infinite, whereas it was vividly blue overhead and shed relaxation, happiness and vigour on all the city people and their games in the sand, some controversy seemed to be in progress. Willie was standing there, slim and defiant, holding his dog by the collar. Grohl hurried after. People in bathing suits looked pretty much alike, social castes and classes intermingled. Heads showed more character and expression, though the bodies which supported them were still flabby and colourless, unaccustomed to exposure and pale after a long winter's imprisonment within the darkness of heavy clothing. A stoutish man was sitting in the shade of a striped orange tent stretched over a blue framework. He was bending slightly forward, holding a cigar. "Is that your dog?" he asked quietly. A little miss, about 10 years old, was with him. She was biting her underlip, and a look of hatred for the boy and the dog flashed between her tear-filled, narrow eyes. "No," said Grohl, with his pleasant voice, which seemed to rumble deep down in his chest. "The dog belongs to the boy, who, to be sure, is mine. You know, dogs aren't allowed to be off the leash," the quiet voice continued. "He frightened my daughter a bit, has trampled her canals, and is standing on her spade." "Pull him back, Willie," laughed Grohl. "You're quite right, sir, but the dog broke away, and, after all, nothing serious has happened." Willie pushed Kong aside, picked up the spade, and, bowing slightly, held it out to the group. Its third member was a slender, remarkably pretty young lady, sitting in the rear of the tent. Grohl decided she was too young to be the mother of the girl, and too attractive to be her governess. "Well gotten up," he reflected. "She looks like Irish with those auburn eyebrows." No one took the spade from the boy, and Willie, with a frown, stuck the toy into the sand in front of the girl. "I think that squares it, especially on such a beautiful day." Grohl smiled and looked down. His legs behind him, his elbows on the sand, and his face resting on his hands, he looked over the hostile three. "Willie has behaved nicely and politely, How well he looks with his Kong! The dog, evidently not as ready to make peace, growled softly, his fur bristling up the neck. Then he sat down. "I want to shoot his dog, father," the girl suddenly remarked in a determined voice. "He frightened me so." Grohl noticed a gold bracelet of antique workmanship about her wrist. Three strands of pale green gold braided into the semblance of a snake. These people needed a lesson. I shall give it to them. Grohl nodded reassuringly at his boy, who was indignantly drawing his dog closer to him. Those grown-ups seemed to know that the girl had the upper hand of them, or, as Grohl told himself, had the right to give orders. So he quietly waited for the sequel of this charming conversation. After all, he was still there to reprimand the brat if the gentleman with the fine cigar lacked the courage to do so, because the sweet darling was not accustomed to proper discipline. "No one is going to shoot my dog," threatened Willie, clenching his fists. But, without deigning to look at him, the girl continued. "Buy him from the people, father. Here is my checkbook." She actually took the thin booklet and the fountain pen with a gold clasp from a zipper bag inside the tent. "If you won't buy him for me, I'll throw a soup plate right off the table at dinner. You know I will, father." She spoke almost in a whisper, and was as white. "If you won't buy him for me, I'll throw a soup plate right off the table at dinner. You know I will, father." She spoke almost in a whisper, and was as white as chalk under her tan. Her blue eyes, over which the sea had cast a greenish glint, flashed threateningly. The gentleman said, £10 for the dog." "The dog is not mine. You must deal with my boy. He's trained him." "I don't deal with boys. I offer £15, a pretty neat sum for the cur." Grohl realized that this was an opportunity of really getting to know his eldest. "Willie," he began, "this gentleman offers you £15 for Kong so that he may shoot him. For the money, you could buy the bicycle you have been wanting since last year. I won't be able to give it to you for a long time if we are not rich enough for that." Willie looked at his father, wondering whether he could be in earnest. But the familiar face showed no sign of jesting. In answer, he put an arm about Kong's neck, smiled up at Grohl, and said, "I won't sell him to you, father." The gentleman in the bathing suit, with his still untanned pale skin, turned to Grohl. Apparently, the argument began to interest him. "Persuade him. I offer £20. £20, Grohl remarked to Willie. "That would buy you the bicycle and the canoe, which you admired so much this morning, Willie. A green canoe with double paddles for the water, and for the land a fine nickel-plated bicycle with a headlight, storage battery, and new tires. There might even be money left over for a watch. You only have to give up this old dog by handing the leash over to the gentleman." Willie said scornfully, "If I went 10 steps away, Kong would pull him over and be with me again." The beautiful and unusual young lady spoke for the first time. "He would hardly be able to do that," she said in a clear, sweet, mocking voice. A charming little person, thought Grohl. and took out a small Browning gleaming with silver filigree work out of a handbag. This would prevent him from running very far. Foolish of her, thought Groll. You see, sir, the dog is a thoroughbred, pedigreed, and splendidly trained. We've noticed that. Offer £50, father, and settle it. £50, repeated Groll, and his voice shook slightly. That would pay for this trip, and if I handed the money for him, his mother could at last regain her strength. The sanatorium is too expensive. We can't afford it. £50, Willie. The bicycle, the watch, the tent. You remember the brown tent with the cords and tassels. And you would have money left to help me send mother to a sanatorium. Imagine all that for a dog. Later on, we can go to the Animal Welfare Society, pay 3 shillings and get another Kong. Willie said softly, There is only one Kong. I will not sell him. Offer £100, father. I want to shoot that dog. I shouldn't have to stand such boorishness. The stoutest gentleman hesitated a moment, then made the offer. £100, sir, he said huskily. You don't look as though you could afford to reject a small fortune. Indeed, sir, I can't, said Groll, and turned to Willie. My boy, he continued earnestly, £100, safely invested, will, within 10 years, assure you of a university education. Or, if you prefer, you can buy a small car to ride to school in. What eyes the other boys would make! And you could drive mother to market. That's a great deal of money. £100 for nothing but a dog. Willie, frightened by the earnestness of all the words, puckered up his face as though to cry. After all, he was just a small boy of 8 and was being asked to give up his beloved dog. But I love Kong, and Kong loves me, he said, fighting down the tears in his voice. I don't want to give him up. £100. Do persuade him, sir. Otherwise my daughter will make life miserable for me. You have no idea, he sighed, what a row such a little lady can kick up. If she were mine, thought Groll, I'd leave marks and a good lesson on each of her dainty cheeks. And after glancing at his boy, who, with furrowed brow, was striving to hold back his tears, he said it aloud, quietly, clearly, looking straight into the eyes of the girl. And now, I think, the incident is closed. Then a most astounding thing happened. The little girl began to laugh. Evidently, the tall, brown man pleased her, and the idea that anyone could dare to slap her, the rough little lady, for one of her whims fascinated her by its very roughness. All right, father, she cried. He's behaved well. Now we'll put the checkbook back in the bag. Of course, father, you knew it was all in fun. The stoutest gentleman smiled with relief and said that, of course, he had known it, and added that such a fine day was just made to have fun. Fun? Groll didn't believe it. He knew too much about people. Willie breathed more freely and, pretending to blow his nose, wiped away 2 furtive tears. He threw himself down in the sand next to Kong, happily pulled the dog on top of himself, and began to wrestle with him, The shaggy brown paws of the terrier and the slim tanned arms of the boy mingled in joyful confusion. However, Grawl, while he somewhat reluctantly accepted a cigar and a light from the strange gentleman and silently looked out into the blue-green sea, which lay spread before him like shimmering folds of silk with highlights and shadows, Grawl thought, "Alas for the poor! If this offer had come to me 2 years ago when my invention was not yet completed, and when we lived in a damp flat dreaming of the little house we now have, then, poor Willy, this argument might have had a different outcome, the struggle for nothing more than a dog, the love, loyalty, courage, and generosity in the soul of an animal and a boy. Yet, speaking in terms of economics, a little financial security was necessary before one could indulge in the luxury of human decency. Without it, he reflected, no one should be asked to make a decision similar to the one which has just confronted Willy and me. Everyone was entitled to that much material safety, especially in an era which was so full of glittering temptations. The little girl with the spade put her slim, bare feet into the sand outside of the tent and called to Willy, "Help me to dig new ones!" But her eyes invited the man Grawl, for whose approval she was striving. She pointed to the ruined canals, then, tossing her hand, she indicated Kong, who lay panting and lazy in the warm sunshine, and called merrily, "For all I care, he can trample them again." The whistle of an incoming steamboat sounded from the pier.